Alrighty, guys. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Onsite Insight podcast. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and today we have none other than Jai. Mate, I want to thank you for coming on today. It's episode 32. And Jai's coming on today, guys, to give a very, I would say, new approach to the current market with socials, tradies, chippy. But I'm not going to talk for him. So Jai, thank you for coming. And if you want to just share with the listeners a little bit about you, and then we'll start getting into these questions, man.
Awesome. Thank you, obviously, for having me. I'm very excited to be here. It's going to be a good conversation, I think. Yep. A little bit of background about myself. I used to be a chippy in a former life. Did my apprenticeship in 3 years in Adelaide. Spent 4 years on the tools after that, just kind of working, building nightclubs for my friends, doing kind of event spaces, mm-hmm. did some insurance work. And essentially the whole time I was doing it, I hated it. I think I fell into the job, waiting to go back to uni, having dropped out originally, mm-hmm. Kind of just was applying for jobs, got an apprenticeship somehow, mm-hmm. worked my way through it, had some interesting bosses, I would say, just classic, you know, treat apprentices like shit. Yeah.
But you stuck through it, obviously.
I stuck through it, yeah. Kind of didn't know what else I wanted to do. Mm. And then I think about, I was 23, I think, at the time, mm-hmm. and was really burnt out. And I kind of quit just altogether, just stopped being a chippy. Just
had no plan.
No plan, really. Just went and, by chance, I went and worked in my friend's warehouse. At the time, he'd started an e-commerce brand, and I was just went there and packing orders.
Yeah.
Obviously, my parents were extremely concerned. I was a qualified chippy.
Yeah. How long were you qualified at this point? Like fresh?
3 years.
Oh, so you were qualified for 3 years.
Yeah, I'd been qualified for 3 years.
Yeah.
Was earning good money at the time as well, you know, like getting paid $40, $50 an hour.
Yeah.
At certain stages, working with different people.
Yeah.
And just packed it up and went and worked in a warehouse for a little bit, packing orders because I needed a break.
Yeah.
I was quite young, I was 23, immature, I was partying every weekend.
Yeah.
But I just needed a reset. And in that period of time, it happened really quickly. But as I said, my friend had started an e-commerce brand, started to understand a little bit about e-commerce and what e-commerce was, mm-hmm. And kind of snowballed from there. I spent a couple of months in the warehouse packing orders. Mm-hmm. From that, convinced him somehow to start an e-commerce brand with me and teach me everything.
Yeah.
Started going really well in the first couple of months. We started a pet bed brand. So we're selling dog beds.
Yeah.
Importing them from China, shipping them, around Australia.
Yeah.
It took off really quick to the point where I couldn't work in the warehouse anymore. Mm-hmm. So, 3 months in, I had to go back.
So, obviously, he was still doing his thing.
Yeah.
He's probably just helping
me out pretty much, just holding my hand.
Whatever questions and stuff you got.
Holding my hand, teaching me through it.
Yeah.
I went back to working on the tools three days a week, just because I needed the extra money to kind of fund it, fund myself as well at the time. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, man, to cut you off. This is going to be like a very good conversation for now.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of guys on here that are like pastimes.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys now that are listening in our demographic anyway, are obviously, thinking about all this stuff. And as you just said then, you still had to go back on the tools to facilitate.
That was the biggest thing. I think one of the most defining factors in my life was I was okay doing that. And I was also okay with... every time I had smoke, I'd pull up my laptop and answer customer emails or talk to suppliers. And as you can imagine, it would have been the weirdest thing on site to see some, employee just answering emails, copying shit, everyone giving me shit for it. And for that 3 month period, I was okay with that. I just kind of knew that I didn't want to be doing what I was doing anymore. And I used it as motivation to focus all of my time and energy into building what was a really successful brand in the end. But did that for 6 months and then it just got too busy. We genuinely timed things really well. We got really, really lucky. I'm not saying I woke up one day and was really good at business. I just got really lucky with my circumstances, people around me. I got lucky in the fact that I decided to go and work in a warehouse and kind of take a reset in my life.
Yeah.
And so I went full time after that. And so
yeah,
since that moment in that was... the end of 2019. I haven't touched a hammer since. So,
Yeah. Just dusted it off and sold all your stuff. And
pretty much. Yeah, and still collecting dust, much to my parents' disgust. But
yeah. So what was the... So obviously you're still doing that brand, like still beds and stuff.
I did that for 4 years.
Yep.
And then the start of 2023, I left that brand. Kind of had, you know, not a life-changing exit, but enough to... have a year and a bit off, travel the world.
Yeah, so again, you sold it, did you?
Yeah, I sold out of it.
Yep. Beautiful.
And then I took a year off, essentially, acted like a retired man, which was not actually fun, to be honest. I felt really guilty for not working. You know, we traveled a lot, but it wasn't... I just always felt like I had to be doing something. Like I spent 4 years working as hard as I possibly could to get really good at something, and then to not have that anymore, and... because you always have access to your laptop, you always felt like you had to be working, and I couldn't really do anything at that time. Like I could have started something else, but I didn't really want to. So it wasn't as fun as it looked from the outside, I think. Had that year off, and then last year through some, like, just, you know, through guys on the internet I met, started a new, I guess, e-commerce consulting agency, having learned a lot of things, worked with some incredibly smart people. That turned out to be a really bad decision. I spent a year working on the wrong thing with the wrong people. They turned out to be not very good people, not very honest people. But I think, yes, I learned a lot from it, but probably, you know, wasted again another year of my life, maybe potentially. I don't know. I'll look back on it at some stage and decide whether I did or not. And now this year, kind of reset again. You know, I've had many resets along the way already. Just turned 30, so had multiple inflection points in my life, but this year just focusing on working with other businesses and brands on their organic content, because I think that's what I enjoy the most, and I think that's the biggest lever that brands can pull, businesses can pull, anyone can pull, really. And that's the biggest opportunity I see moving forward for me. So I kind of started again, started another agency this time, and kind of working, you know, one-on-one with specific brands and founders to help them with their organic content. So
I think it's actually funny what you just said before, like just listening to you talk about, you know, you were traveling the world and, you know, you, to the most part, to people that might be listening, you know, you made it, you know, it's all great, but there was no fulfillment by the sounds of it. You know, you weren't driven. There was no drive. There was, you know, no passion after the fact, because... yeah, it's a very common thing that you see amongst, I would say, you know, founders or people that, you know, it's all relevant. Business is business, no matter which way you spin it. But we even had a guy in here yesterday and I said the same thing to him. Like, it's almost a, it's the personality, like money aside, it's the guy, it's the person, it's the personality trait about him that or her. That's the driving factor, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, you put something up ages ago about Simon.
Yeah,
you know, exits for 600 mil, and then, you know, you would everyone would assume, oh, why not just be on the beach in Monaco and never touch anything again? Like, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You might do that for 3 months or 4 months and might be mad, but then after that,
there's honestly,
how many beaches do you want to see? How
there's
many?
There's only, you know, so much partying. There's only so much, you know, like whatever it is that's your passion. Like, I picked up golf. I loved that for a bit, but there honestly was only so much of one thing that you can do until you're like, okay, I need something to, you know, I need to be building something, or I just need to be contributing to society in some form. And I've, you know, I found that out very quickly, and I probably dragged it on for too long, just trying to milk it. But I, like, for me now, it's also like, you look at that in a positive way, because I use that as fuel now. Like, I know I want to be working, you know, I want to be pushing, grinding, learning new things. And and that really, for me, is a massive mindset shift and kind of a lifestyle shift as well.
I got a question for you though. So let's go back to the point where you, because it was what, 2019, you said e-commerce.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just going to address the elephant in the room. If anyone gets on socials right now and they scroll their phone, the first thing that pops up is a lot of guys selling a course, buy my course to show you how to sell a course.
Yeah.
That's something I seen the other day and I looked into it. And it's, you know, how have you, because you said that that first business wasn't quite, you know, that mentoring, whatever it was, the e-commerce, you know, it wasn't, maybe some of your business partners didn't align with the values that you shared. How did you, you know, distinguish your values? And was it something that, because it's what I'm trying to get at is there's guys, it's so common, right? Mm. And I'm more talking to the listeners that are that 17, 18 year olds, all right? Mm. You were a chippy, you're an apprentice. Now, and it's a thing I preach. The apprentices these days are sitting in a fucking garage at Smoko. They pull their phone up. The first thing they see is a video that pops up and it says, hey man, I'm going to show you how to fucking make $5,000 a day. Leave your job, you know, and the thing that I fucking despise. Or now I've been seeing there's a lot of marketing ploy about, you know, the hook is always something about the trade community and then how shit it actually is and why you should leave.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a wrong way to go about it. Yeah. I think they're pulling on the strings of maybe their own journey. And, you know, as I can emphasize, man, with like these 17, 18 year old guys that see this video come through and they're getting their fucking $17 an hour, why wouldn't you jump in and be like, oh fuck, I'll sign up, $90, yeah. He's gonna show me how to live in Dubai and drive a Lambo for the rest of my life. Like, how have you been able to navigate those waters and like not either get stuck in it or align yourself to not be part of that?
It's a good question. Yeah. I think the first thing that I've always avoided is trying to sell something.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I would sell myself, you know, but like, you know, like you're buying access to actually work with me, not kind of buy a course that I'm just going to fob off to you and you can kind of go at it your own. So the first thing is probably I'm very cautious of what I'm offering or the advice that I'm trying to give. Mm-hmm. Secondly, 9 times out of 10, like you can cut through the noise and be authentic by just giving everything away for free.
Mm.
So like at the moment, you know, something I am working on is actually a course, but I'm not going to charge for it. It's going to be completely free.
Yeah.
Because I just want to see people go through it. And then those people that go through it and they get better at, you know, it's going to be around content creation.
Mm.
When they finish that course, then they're in a position where they actually are worth, you know, like they have some sort of understanding of what they're trying to achieve and they can actually go and pay and get something out of working with someone. So those are probably the two things, is like definitely I personally don't try and sell courses. I'll just give them away for free. I'll give away value away for free.
Yeah.
That separates you from 99% of the people, because all they're doing is they're not selling any value. They're selling the course itself.
Or I seen the other day, how's this? Or I seen a fucking guy sell a course on how to sell a course.
Yeah.
On how to sell a course. It's like the most fucking ridiculous thing. I even played it out. I trialed it. I got into the DMs. You know, it says, DM me millionaire and I'll send you the trick on how to become a millionaire overnight. So I was like, okay, let's role play this scenario. Did it. DM'd him. Boom. Instant. Yep. Reply. Yep. Link. Yep. All this sort of stuff. Fill in my details. Put it all in there. Did it all. Boom. Another email. It's all obviously all auto-generated. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's all sort of happened. Then, what's this? MasterCard Visa. Put it all in. $69 USD. I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
But before that, the hook was, there was a little video at the start saying about, oh, here's all my results and this is what you can do and if you want to blah blah blah. Yeah. It's like a 4 or 5 minute video, so long enough that you don't lose in, you know, enthusiasm. It's obviously all this sort of shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck man, I was like, surely not.
I know
but it's like, it's dude, it's such a dangerous thing, right?
It is. And I don't know how you stop it, to be honest. Like, if I'm like honest, it's like there's such a shift of everyone doing it that at some point, yes, I feel sorry for these kids that fall into it. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, I think it's so wrong and it shouldn't happen. But at some point, like, they need to either realize that if it sounds too good to be true, it normally is.
Yeah.
And like, you can't just expect a young, immature kid to just have that maturity to be like, you know, they're trying to sell me a course. They're not actually going to help me in any way. Mm. But like, how else do you stop such a tidal wave of scammers at the moment besides, you know, putting it back on the kid to just be like, you know what, do your research, think about what they're actually trying to sell you. Is it like, are they selling you a course? Are they selling, you know, are they giving away that advice? Can I find this advice for free on YouTube? Like,
type it in ChatGPT.
Like, you can find so much free advice now that if you're not prepared to go and do a little bit of research yourself, do a little bit of work, and you're trying to buy your way into success, then you probably aren't going to be successful because you're trying to, you know, you're trying to shortcut it, you're trying to hack it, and that's never going to get you that success that you're chasing. So I think it does obviously take a certain style of person to get tricked by these core sellers, but they're also looking in the wrong place. Like, you know, their intentions are in the wrong spot. They should be more worried about learning hard skills and, you know, sticking at something for 10 years instead of trying to get rich in 6 months. That's probably...
It's such the common thing, you know, right? But anyway, so go back a little bit and then we'll go forward. So talk to me. The carpentry aspect.
Yep.
I know you're 30 now. It probably seems like a blink in the eye. And you didn't enjoy it. But did that teach you anything throughout that journey of doing it? Your trade, your apprenticeship, like, fuck, man. Like, because so many kids these days, they'll just quit. That's why I was like, did you finish it? Did you see it through? But you obviously finished it. And you were still you still stayed in it for a while.
Yeah.
You know, 3-4 years. You know, what were some of the benefits that you got out of doing it? You know?
I think just as a whole, like, being able to build something, like, you know, whether that, like, being able to work through a complex problem, being outside, like, don't get me wrong, it's an amazing skill to have, and like, I think it's the best trade by far because it's so robust and you can work on so many things. What did it teach me? How to bite my tongue, maybe? Like, you know, how to kind of,
how to get up at 4 a.m.
yeah, like, how to dude, we ate shit, man. Like, we worked for like a massive framer,
yeah.
And like, there was three of them. It was a big operation. You know, like, at one stage it was like 15 apprentices and then the bosses went through a big breakup. But like, the bosses themselves, like, they were from a pretty rough area in Adelaide. And like, we to them were just, you know, fodder. Like,
yeah, so just numbers,
So it taught me too, I guess, how to deal with that and navigate that, how to deal with people that I didn't like being around every day. It was kind of like, sometimes you just had to grit your teeth and get it done and keep your head down. And you know, in terms of like actual carpentry skill, he was definitely the smartest carpenter I'd ever met in my life, and still to this day I would say that. But yeah, just the people skills that I took out of it, and like, you know, understanding that your time will come to maybe go up a rung, and you know, maybe you can have some people under you at some stage, but you know, I just had to learn to bite my tongue and bide my time, really, would be the main thing.
And what advice would you give to other guys that are thinking of stepping away from the tools, right? They've just become qualified. You know, because being able to restart, like, you know, I wouldn't have had it in me. You know, I had a kid. It was a little bit different, you know. But I'm sure there's points and times where guys think to themselves, like, man, I just want to throw it in. Like,
yeah,
you know, because you said you literally, you threw it in without a plan.
Yeah. Like,
But then there was no, like, what point... to contextualize it, where were you at?
Well, like, it was circumstantial. Like, I was living at home. I had no expenses. You know, like, I didn't have a kid. Like, you know, I had a free swing at it. And that's like, I don't discount that at all. It wasn't like I was out on the street if I didn't make whatever it is I was going to work on next. I could have always gone back to carpentry. So I looked at it at the point of like, I really am still a kid. I have a free swing at it. It'd be silly not to. If I was 30 now in this same position, it'd be a much harder decision and I'd probably need to be a bit more methodical about it. You know, like, do I have enough savings for 6 months? Do I have a job that I can fall back on? Like, is there a part-time job that I can take in a bar? Like, whatever it is, so that I can soften that landing and be a bit smarter about it. You know, you can look at it both ways where it's like, if you go too soft and try and massage your way through it, you'll never actually fully commit and, you know, you'll never be back against the wall, crushed through it. But you also have to be somewhat smart. Like, you can't not have food on the table if you've got a family, kids, whatever it is. So I think the advice that I would give is, I think a lot of people get sucked into this is their only path. And what I would say is there is a million other ways to make money these days and it's never been easier. So I agree. Like, if you really hate it and you don't see a future in it for yourself, by all means, have a crack at something else, but just be smart about it.
I guess. Well, And it's funny that you say that. So the common thing, because when we do onboarding here and we sit down with, you know, I deal with a lot of young guys, and the first thing I say to them, it's like this running joke, but it's basically, you know, once they, I always say, like, once they start their apprenticeship, I just tell them, put the blinkers on. Mm. Don't think about nothing. Don't even open your fucking TikTok. Don't look at nothing. Just keep your head down. Don't listen to your mate saying, hey, man, I'm earning $50 an hour being a security guard. Do not do that. Just finish your apprenticeship. Once you've got that certificate, hey, I don't care what you go do. Mm. Go smoke weed and sell coffees down at Byron Bay for the rest of your life. Go and surf the waves. Go travel to Bali. Whatever you want to do, but yeah, get the qualification done. All right, get it done, because everyone can say, oh, I've wasted doing apprenticeship. It's not a waste.
No.
What the waste is that if you start your apprenticeship, go 2-3 years, and then you don't finish it, that is a waste.
100%. All right? Couldn't agree more.
Like, that is a waste of time. That's why I'm such a strong believer. If you're going to, especially with apprenticeships, if you're going to start one, fucking finish one. Don't half-ass it and be like, oh, I'm going to jump in and jump out. Jump in it all the way, finish it, and then once you're done, do whatever the fuck you want to do after it, you know?
It's tough because, like, we're trained on, like, such, like, instant gratification now. Yeah. Like, people look at 4 years like 40 years
fucking
now.
Fucking, it's like a sentence, like a prison sentence.
It is crazy. Like, like, 4 years is such a quick time. And, like, most people, it's going to take them 3 years to finish it anyway. Like, they're going to get to the point where they're either going to be earning good enough money by their third year that, you know, it's okay, or they're going to get close to finishing it in, like, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So,
but it goes like that.
It's so quick, man. Yeah. And I think, like, you know, we're all suckers of it. Like, we just want everything now. But that's probably the one major issue that I would say with, like, younger people is they do want everything now. And yes, it's good in some degree, and they're really pushing as a generation to be better younger, and, you know, they want more at a younger age. But no one's prepared to fucking do the yards anymore.
But it's the same with – I guess it's regardless of apprenticeship, business, whichever way you want to swing it, doesn't matter. The instant gratification, I think, is so common even in business. Like, I sit down with heaps of different guys, heaps of different business owners, guys that are older, younger, handed things, not handed things. And it's so funny when you see it from, like, I see it from the distance now, and I can see everyone. Like, it's, you know, the people that it just happens overnight, I would say it's 0.1%. As you said, you got lucky, right? You literally caught it for what it was. For the most, yes, you still put in hard work, this, that, and the other, but a lot of the times it was the right place, right time. When, for the most part, 90% of business, it's not about the right place and the right time. It's about how long can you withstand, you know, your back up against the wall and consistently just push. Because, you know, I've said this before, business is not designed for you to succeed. It's not designed for that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in Australia, anywhere, business is not a matter of, you know, you're just going to start one and it's going to go gangbusters. You're going to make $1 million overnight. Good luck. You know, it's designed for you to fail. It's designed for it not to be easy. And it doesn't matter if it's an apprenticeship, if you're trying to fucking climb the corporate ladder. I preach it so often, like, stay in it for the right reasons, you know? Like how you said that you started it, you did it, you started your e-commerce thing, and then, you know, it's obviously now you've got to the point where you found your, you know, you would say your calling, your purpose. And I think if you can just find that and be okay with walking away with, you know, walking away from what you're doing at the moment and moving into that, you'll be sweet, you know? 100%. But yeah, it's such... Dude, I'm so passionate about it because it's like I deal with so many young guys and I can literally see it on the ground level on what the impact that it's having with socials. And as you said, how do you stop it? I don't know how.
I don't think you can. Like, as I said, I think it's a tidal wave of expectations that will take years and years to correct, that when people will get a little bit older, you know, they'll start to push back against this unrealistic expectations of everyone being successful at once or everyone being able to
It was only recent where I seen these two brothers, these two brothers in Dubai.
Yeah.
That clothing brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom, overnight.
Yeah.
They fucking portraying this lifestyle, you know, private planes and Rolls Royces, and the next thing you know, they're one of the biggest coke dealers in Dubai.
I don't know if they're dealers, but I think they just got caught up in
it.
You know, like they probably just thought they were too big to touch, and they made a split second decision to bring something in that they shouldn't have.
But that's what I'm saying, though, and it's like no one really knows the true story. And I've always been a strong believer, and people only believe what they want to see.
Yeah,
you know, you'll only ever see what you want to see, and that basically means that whatever you see on the internet, if you believe it, you'll see, and you'll be like, oh yeah, that's so true. These guys have made it, but are they really? You know, you just got to question it a little bit.
I think being skeptical will help you get further to some degree, because like you don't want to just be negative about everything, but you also don't want to be too optimistic that you watch some kid in Dubai and just say, yeah, I can do that too, if he's telling me that I can do it. It's like, well, no, you need to be a bit more skeptical and have your wits about you, and just
question
everything until you make up your own mind that it is actually true, and that it is a path forward for you.
So talking about that, I guess you being you, and I would say you're very experienced in the field, what would be some advice that you would give businesses now to stand out from these the absolute onslaught of shit that is getting pushed across social media at the moment, TikTok mainly? What advice, and I'm more talking contextualized to construction,
right?
Because that's the main sort of people that we have here, but what advice would you give to those guys that are in those fields?
Yeah, I think with construction specifically, it's a little bit more unique, where like there is a massive gap in the market for people that want to create. And what I mean by want to create is just posting photos of your finished jobs on Instagram isn't creating. Like you're not creating any value, you're not creating any interest, you're not creating any engagement, because that's not what the platforms favor anymore. They want short form videos. And so from that, there's a huge gap in the market for people that are comfortable enough in front of camera, that want to share stories, that want to be authentic and, show the day-to-day realities of what it's like being a builder, what it's like being a plumber, whatever it may be. So, in just me saying that, I'm sure you have people that come to mind that you can think of that are, quote unquote, influences in each of their trades, but it's because they made that decision to just go, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna get my iPhone out, I'm gonna start telling stories about my day, I'm gonna start telling stories about my jobs. And like, as a person and as a business, no one can copy you. Like yes, you could have 15 different plumbers all posting on Instagram and you think, oh, it's saturated, but the reality is no one speaks like you. No one works in the same jobs that you do. No one looks like you. No one has the same experiences as you. So there's all these nuances in the person that you are that people get caught up in, and they think that, it's too saturated. I can't, I don't have anything interesting to share. And it's like, it may take a little bit longer than you want it to, but you will find a tribe of people that connect with you and they like your stories.
Yeah, fuck, I could talk about this for about another 27 hours. I could, but it's been a passion of mine for years, probably for as long as I can remember, it's been a passion. And when you said that about the finished stuff and posting that, and the algorithm and this, that, everyone, oh, this is what you need to do. The algorithm's just the fucking people. If video doesn't 100%. Hit, it's usually just because the video is fucking trash. You can worry about when you post it, hashtags, all the other jargon, but it's usually, that's just how it is. But what I have seen very recently is, there's a few construction companies with hundreds of thousands of followers that might just post nice finish architectural stuff. But where everyone's missing the mark is that is not how they actually built the brand, how they built the followers.
I had this conversation literally every week.
Yeah, they didn't build the followers like that.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, they do it now. But if you wind the clock back about 8 years, right? It looked a lot different. It looked a lot more like shot from your iPhone, authentic style stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's obviously other things that you can wrap into it. PR, pushing, and all this other sort of jazz that there's obviously in the mix. Yeah. But I feel like people do the stuff that they assume when they compare against people that have got massive followings or massive engagement. They try to mimic that right now. But yeah, I just don't think... I think it's off. I think it's off.
It's like... honestly, it's a conversation I have. Like, literally, I've had it every week probably this year with a different builder of some description or someone in the construction industry. And they look at your grayers and your future flips and they go, you know, we want to start posting like them. And it's like, you know, like I can remember four or five times where someone said to me, you know, we do the exact same jobs as them. Like we should be posting them. It's like, yeah, okay. But you have no followers. So you could post 50 photos of a really nice finished job and it's going to get shown to no one because the platforms don't push that content at the moment. So you need to be posting all of the behind the scenes, all of the office stuff, you know, all the architectural stuff that, you know, talking to your architects, talking about what problems you're having, you know, talking about how you're building this unique staircase. Like
it's so whatever funny, man. You're like, doing. It's so funny because there's so many different layers to it. What works for me and what works for someone else in the same company, but different face, different voice, can be polar opposites, right? And me and Nick talked about this yesterday. It's like establishing what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. Not everyone's got the yam bam curb fucking UFO looking building. So it's like, okay, well, if you haven't got that, that you can emphasize, what have you got? You know, but if you're not comfortable on camera and you don't want to talk, do you push that? And it's like, yeah, I can see there's a gap in the market for people like yourself to almost guide. And there's no, I guess the way to put it is there is no one-stop shop. There like if someone comes to you and says, hey, Dry, mate, I've got 100 followers. I want you to get me to 10,000 in 3 months.
Yeah.
What do I need to do?
They look at the
end result. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, that's the thing. They look at the end result and like what I've tried to speak to so many people about and like the annoying thing, I guess, is you get on these calls, have the exact same conversation every time. And then I say to them, okay, you know, this is the process that you need to follow. This is how much time we need to spend together, whether it's a month, 3 months, whatever it is. And it might cost you, you know, a couple of grand over those couple of months. And they balk at it and they just think, well, you know, I'll just go and copy what a bigger brand's doing and I'll do it myself. And they, in 3 months' time, they'll come back and they'll go, okay, I'm still at square one, because they don't really realize that it's not about the follow account and it's not about how many people are liking your photos. It's about you consistently posting every single day and kind of figuring out what is going to resonate and what actually works for you as a business. Maybe you don't want to post every day and that's absolutely fine. But if you're not posting consistently, how do you expect to get in front of the people that you want to?
How can you compete,
yeah,
you know, with this current market? And, you know, for you listeners anyway, the reason why me and Jai are yapping on about this, because unfortunately the reality is that as we evolve in 5, 10 or 15 years' time, this whole social game is going to be even bigger than what it already is.
Status quo.
You know, it'll be a client, you'll be door knocking, and the first thing that Joanne will say at the door won't be, you got a business card, they'll say, what's your Instagram? All right, guys, congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode, Paige.
Yeah.
How do we find you?
Well, it's not even that. It's like it's your business front. Like it's your storefront now. Like if you don't have a good social following, that's the number one thing that people would trust over anything else at the moment. And like whether it's right or wrong, you know, whether you do good work or not is probably a more important thing.
No, I know. Like that's, but, that's don't get it twisted. You still got to do the right thing and do the good job. Otherwise you'll be bankrupt.
But the sad thing, the sad reality is if you have really shit socials, it's going to put you on the back foot against someone that maybe isn't a good builder as you, but they have really, really good socials and they're going to be getting all the leads. They're going to be getting all the inbound. Like, and that's just the reality of the situation. Yeah. So you can either get up to speed and invest in it and try and, you know, tag along, or I think you'll just get left behind.
Yeah. And it's so true, because if you lined up four builders, they're all going to give you the exact same house, exact same quality, exact same everything. But out of the four, only one of them's got an Instagram page and he posts every day and he's super adamant and super, like, I always say this to the boys, like, who would you pick? You know, you have four people there. They all look the same. They're going to give you the fucking exact same product. No word of a lie. Same price, same everything. But there's one of them that has the Instagram page or they have some sort of content out there and you feel a connection with them. You're fucking going with that person every day of the week. You don't know David, John and fucking Chris. You only know this guy because you've seen a video of him. And that is so true. It doesn't matter. Like, yes, you still got to do good work and you got to do all that sort of stuff. And, you know, provide value and et cetera, et cetera. That's all just the bread and butter. That hasn't changed in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
That's still the norm, right? but the content game, it's going to become a phase that, like, and someone said to me the other day, one of the business owners coming in, and he said, like, they don't even have a website anymore. So I don't even need a website.
Yeah.
He said, I don't pay for a website. I don't even spend time on it. No one goes on it.
So people, no, like, people just go to your Instagram and look through your photos.
They just type me in Google. Boom. Yeah. First thing that pops up, my IG page. Yeah. Go straight on that. And he goes, that's where I get everything. I don't do any ads. I don't do nothing. No SEO.
It's crazy.
On that bullshit. And he's like, it's so funny. He said, it's, and he said, by the time it all trickles through that and I actually get to meet that person, they act as if they've known me their whole life. Because that's how, like, the content game works.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck. Like, it's so true. I even said to, like, a close family friend of mine the other day, they said, oh, I'm dealing with this broker. I said, oh, who is it? Like, tell me who they are. So I, like, pulled up my phone, like, had a look. Website, ooh, little hit and miss, you know, definitely Wix, you know, I don't know, it was giving me that sort of vibe. I was like, yep, whatever. Jumped on the Instagram. I was like, oh, let's see. Typed in their Instagram. I was like, ooh, not a lot of posts. There's not a lot of engagement on this one. I was like, fuck, it just seems a little off. Like, there's nothing there. But that, in all honesty, I was literally going through it and I was like, fuck, this is what I feel like as, like, a customer.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Whenever I deal now with brokers, suppliers, or anything like that, I'm fucking going on there and I'm checking who they are, what they do, their engagement, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I could yap on about it for ages. And it's so important. Yeah. Like, it's, we talk about it and I guess a lot of listeners are like, oh, fucking, you're not going to need that. But I'm telling you guys, it's going to be, and it is already, but it's going to be even more important in years to come.
Yeah.
You know, wait until they start actually charging for people to post, like, ads. And, like, there's all this other sort of things that people are talking about at the moment. But yeah, it's so cheap too. And as you said right at the start, it's a lever that any business can push. Mm. Doesn't matter if you're a handyman. I seen a page of, like, some 14-year-old boys mowing lawns, kicked off.
So good.
Yeah. Kicked off, dude. Like, fucking pumps. So much engagement and so many followers just off something just
and
like
the
that.
Thing I think that people get caught up on is, like, say you're a 40-year-old, right? And you've never posted online before. Mm. And all you hear about is, you know, that you have to post, that you have to be in front of people. It's like, because there's so many young people that do it, if you can actually set aside, you know, whatever anxiety you have about doing it, you know, your disdain for having to post online, if you can set that aside and actually bring yourself up to speed and kind of make an effort to go and start posting more, like, you stand out just from being older, and you stand out from, you know, not looking like every other 21-year-old or, like, you know, every other 17-year-old that's online posting. So you actually, just by being yourself, already have an advantage because you look like you're experienced. You look like you know what you've been doing for the last 20, 30 years, like, whatever it is, however old you are. Like, that in itself is a superpower that not enough people, especially older people, realize they have at their fingertips, and they think it's just a young person's game, and it's actually not, because you, as I said, you just cut through like purely in the way that you look. Like, I'm going to trust you more because you're older. You've been doing it for longer than me. I instantly trust you.
Yeah. So talking about the businesses that reach out to you, give me some like insight, I would say, into the common problem that you're finding at the moment. Because you said, I don't think you just deal with builders and that sort of stuff.
No, I mainly focus obviously like on e-commerce brands. But for me, when I sat down and kind of was like, where's a bigger opportunity?
Do you think there's a massive hole?
Like, probably the biggest, I think. It's such an underserved niche, and it's also something that I can speak on because, you know, I've been a carpenter. So it's like, it just made sense to me to at least start to talk to builders and kind of...
Do you think it's harder to push?
Yeah, because they don't see the value in it enough, and they're very set in their ways of... They just think people want to see their finished houses. And as I've said to, you know, this is a good conversation I've had, is like, yes, you need that kind of finished product as your end goal to show people, yeah, okay, you know, they can build houses, they do a really good job, whatever it is. But if you're not bringing people along for the ride and all they're seeing is the finished product, one, you only have an opportunity to post every 6 months if you're only doing a couple of builds a year. And two, like, there's just no connection to it. It's just a sterile photo. There's no reason for me, unless I'm the homeowner that you've just built my house for, no one else really cares. Like, yes, it looks flashy, it's nice, it's a good photo, whatever it is. There's just not enough touch points for me as a potential customer.
Because it looks great. It looks like a wallpaper. Like you can put it
but
up
like, how do I know what you're like? How do I know what you're like as a person? Yeah. Unless I go and sit down with you four or five times. Like, you know, I want to be brought along for the ride. I want my own chance to feature on your page. I want my own chance to, you know, show off my friends the build that's happening on, you know, XYZ builder's page. Like all of these things, they like are exciting to me as a potential homeowner. So I want to be involved in the process a bit more.
And I guess we could touch on like the e-commerce stuff.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother field, right? But as you just sort of said, they don't see the value in it. And I think that's, for, in all honesty, for someone like myself, it's honestly been a battle of mine to deal with, because I employ a content manager. We've invested heavily in content. And for me, it's always been like, can I afford it? Is it something that's going to actually make me money? You know, where on the e-commerce side, you could almost say that it's almost like price per unit. You know what I mean? Like you put up an ad or something like that, you can see it trickle through, whether you're getting shirts or whatever the fuck it is.
It's money in, money out.
Yeah.
It is. Where it's much
it's
easier.
Such a, it's such a long, I feel like in construction and building, it's such a longer game.
Yeah.
Like it is literally such a long game, because you're not going to get that instant, like, you can't post, like for me, I couldn't post a bang. If I post a banging ad of anything, what's it going to bring me?
Nothing.
There's only, so I'm project style. Yeah. I can't just, like, I'm not going to get like, oh, I'm going to get 1,000 jobs. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, and no that, one's buying like, you know, a $600,000 deal from a post. But
I guess that what I'm trying to say is like, what is the benefit, you know? Like, and I guess that was the biggest thing for me. Yeah. I've seen the value and the benefit. It obviously, one, gives you the reputation, get to build relationships from it, but it is such a hard fucking hurdle to get through, because as I said, you post the ad in the e-commerce stuff, you have a fucking really good ad, you'll get orders through, it'd be sick, you'd be like, oh fuck, my Spotify account's going woo, I mean my fucking Shopify account's going woo.
Yeah,
but the, you know, on the building side, you don't get it.
I think and that's a good point, like, and it's a good point to the point of, it makes sense. Yes, you're not money. It's not money in, money out. So there's no relativity to it. You know, they're not exactly lining up. But the flip side of it is, you have to look at the bigger picture. And it's like, where is everyone? They're online. And if you're not online, like, how do you actually exist in this day and age? Like, that is just, word of mouth marketing can get you to a certain point, and maybe you just want to do one or two builds a year, and like, that's perfect for you. And like, you don't need to be online, because you can just trickle along and be, you know, in your little bubble and kind of.
And guys have done that.
And they want to do that.
We've seen guys that have bought, that have got massive followings, that they've, you know, they've almost pulled back a little bit from it.
And that's absolutely fine. But like, you know, it's more speaking to the ambitious people that want to grow.
Yeah.
It's like, they're not going to grow just through word of mouth marketing anymore. Mm. Like, especially in the field that majority of these listeners are in. It's like, you have to actually go out and present yourself and be online and, you know, be out and about in the online community for people to discover you. That's just, as I said, it's a matter of fact. Like, I can't change that. You can't change it. No one can change it. That's just the way in the world we live in.
Dude, I literally can see such a fucking massive hole, especially out of all the industries, right? Barbering popped off. All these other product, e-commerce, like that's obviously its own fucking bubble as well. But like, building construction has to be one of the most oldest style company structures, business models in the fucking world, right? Regardless of where you are. It's literally the oldest sort of run. And it's like, in the US, it's a I've preached this 1,000 times before. If any of you guys want to see, like, just deep dive into what it's like over there. There are landscaping companies and building companies over there. Crazy.
Like,
right?
Like millions of followers. Like they, but they, like, you know, the US sets the culture, essentially, what I think is, for the Western world. So like, they're years and years ahead of what Australia.
And that's what I'm trying to say is like, what it's like over there when it eventually trickles down to here, and it's going to be a game changer.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, if you look at the gold standard, right? Like, your greyer is the gold standard.
Yeah.
Everyone in Australia knows them pretty much. Yeah. Like, everyone looks up to them. Everyone loves them. And yes, they are so far ahead of anyone else, but there's such a gap for, you know, your mid-tier builders, your residential builders, whatever it is, to like actually put, you know, to put a figure on it. If they put $80,000 a year aside, like, I get not many people have that lying around, but if you can slowly start to invest that, you know.
But they invested too. And that, like, 100%. Everyone sees Grayer and like, for what they do. And I've never talked down on those guys ever, because, you know, as I said, I've been a massive follower of them all the way back in the days where Rob was still on the tools in Paddington. And like, they, man, they were ahead of the curve. They could see what the value that was coming, and they pushed. They pushed fucking relentlessly across socials when no one was doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone thought, oh, nah, it's not going to, you know, why do it? Probably not even anyone was fucking saying not to do it. No one just fucking knew about it. It was literally, as I said to you, I remember the golden era about when it all started to pop. And it just like, they invested so much into it consistently, day in and day out, year on year on year on year.
Yeah.
And then to the point now, and that's what I was saying, that is the gold standard. But you can't mimic that.
No.
You can't. You can create your own thing now, but you can't just follow that same rule book on what they did, right? Times have changed. So it's like, how do we, you know, now, for the most part, for the guys that do ring you and say, listen, I want to do this, you know? It's like, you don't have the answer.
I don't, you but just like, gotta, it's very situational, right? So if we just pick apart, let's have a hypothetical builder. They've got 4,000 followers, you know, like they've grown over the last 10 years to that. And just by posting photos, and they come to me and they say, okay, I really want to invest the time and the effort into creating content.
Mm.
The first thing that I say to them is like, you have to find someone, whether it's yourself as the owner or an employee that's going to be with you long term, that is going to go all in. You know, they are okay with being in front of camera 2, 3, 4 times a week, batch filming content.
Mm.
You know, it's not something that you can do for a couple of months and see instant growth in. It may take you 6 months, it may take you a year, whatever it is. But the first thing I say to them is like, if you're not prepared to either work with me or to film for an extended period of time, then, you know, let's end the call now. Because I think people just want, going back to this instant gratification thing, they just want it to work instantly, and it's not going to. Like, even I say to them, from my experience, I posted like 200 videos last year and they all fucking sucked. And then, you know, I ended up paying someone that was smarter than me and knew what, you know, I was doing wrong, could see it from the outside, to have an outside opinion, and it fixed things in a month. Like, and so if you're not prepared to suck for a really long time,
but you got the experience out of doing those 100% videos, yeah, you know, like, what I mean? So once you got to that point that you're like, fuck, I need someone, like,
yeah. But if you're not prepared to suck for a long time and to post and post and post and, you know, and to get better and to take advice, then that's your first starting point. You know, and if you can get over that hurdle, then it's like, okay, what do you actually want to be known for? Like, you know, if you got past the first hurdle of like, I'm actually committed to this, I'm going to do it, I'm going to invest my time and money into it. What's the next hurdle? It's like, what do I want to do? What do I feel comfortable with? What's going to work into my life?
It's so like, crazy, man. Like, you know, you try and chase viral. Are you trying to?
You just want to be yourself, I think. Yeah. Like, and that means you're telling stories about what you're doing every day. You're showing an unfiltered access. Obviously, you don't want to give away sensitive information, but I would say 99% of the stuff builders do isn't sensitive. Like, you know, you can show people's plans, you can show behind the scenes, like show everything. That's
you can be like us and you can show people's plans and then get a lovely phone call telling them to pull down. But you got to try it, right?
Well,
you got to push the boundaries a little bit.
Yeah, like, and if you don't show exactly where it's been built or who it's been built for, like there's no reason for anyone to understand that.
Yeah.
But show more of the interesting stuff that you do every day. Like, you know, talking to architects, talking to builders, talking to site managers, whatever it is, trades, like show that behind the scenes process of you working through a problem. You're not only are you going to attract homeowners because they're interested and they want to learn about it, you're going to attract renovators, you're going to attract everyone that's interested in the construction industry, but you're also going to attract other builders and they're going to start to comment on it. They're going to start to build, you know, a bit more of a connection with you online. They're going to comment on it, say, great work, love this, I'd do it this way, why are you doing this? And you slowly start to see how by opening yourself up to the world, you're actually bringing people into your world and kind of building a bit more of an audience and getting a bit more of connection. And then from there, it's like you kind of, you know, it's hard for me to just hypothetically pick it up, but it's like, what's working? Is it the highly edited kind of well done videos of like the job progression? Is it the authentic raw style videos? Is it a mix of all of them together? Because I think it's really hard to just grow on one style of video. Of
shooting, like,
yeah, and there's many things.
What did someone say to us one in one video? It was like, oh, is this, are you guys shooting at like maps or something like that? Like, you know, that shotgun sort of like behind the scenes sort of look.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because there is so many different things, but you got to keep throwing shit at the wall and see what works.
And you have to just be prepared to, as I said, it goes back to, you just have to be prepared to try things and keep continually investing your time into getting better and figuring out a format that works for you. Because like, there's no point in me working with someone and they go, this takes up too much of my time, I really hate this, and they give it up after, you know, 30 days.
Like, then you just lost. It's like me giving, like, I say this to Nick now, like, I've come too far to fucking throw this in the bag. Like, fuck. Like, I've literally come too far now to throw this in the bag. And it's, yeah, if you do 6 months worth of filming and then you're like, ah, listen, Jai, it's not working, mate. I got, you know, I'm not even getting any leads from it, mate. There's no follow. Like, fuck this. I'm out. You just wasted 6 months, dude, for nothing. You almost got to find the passion of doing it.
100%. Enjoy doing it. I think you have to find but there's also a flip side of that. Like, you know, at some point, if you really did give it a good crack and you go, this isn't for me, like, that's also okay. Mm. As I said, like, I don't like people saying that there's only one way to achieve whatever it is that they're trying to achieve.
Mm.
I think if it doesn't work for you and you can genuinely look yourself in the mirror and say, I had a crack at it, then that's okay. Like, move on to the next thing that may work. Like, there's maybe a different strategy you can try. Maybe there's someone in the business that you can put in front of camera that doesn't have to be you. Yeah, like, there's ways around it that doesn't always need to be so involved on the business owner, because at the end of the day, they have a business to run. Like, they don't have all the time in the world to just be making videos. And
you've heard it here first, guys.
I appreciate that, but it's like, unless you can honestly say, I've had a proper crack at it, then I tune out a little bit until they say, yeah, like, you know, I'm keen to do it or I'm keen not to.
Something that's interests me a lot is the long form content.
Yeah.
All right. Particularly in the US, and I'm talking across the board, doesn't matter what industry. I've picked that up. It's becoming very well, like, it's almost reverting back to like 2010, 20, like 09, fucking.
It's the new TV.
It got Instagram and everything came in and everyone was like, yeah, fucking short form, boom, 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 pushed it. All these like super quick edits, you know, really high fucking tech music shots. Over there, the content that's pumping the most at the moment is long form, YouTube
style.
Like
a full build,
just like vlog style, literally just yapping away, like walking and talking and, you know, you're going to the most unappealing job, but it's just like you're just listening there as like almost like a POV of like, you know, you're just there with them.
I think it's like crazy. Whatever your medium is, whether it's long or short, like the opportunities are so big for someone to just kind of come in and make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, YouTube, I will say, as a platform, is significantly harder. Like, you know,
and this is what I want
to
get into.
Infinitely next, harder than short form to crack. Like, that is just a fact. You ask anyone that has had success on both platforms, one or the other, like, I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, they'll say YouTube is a different beast altogether. And like, and that's okay. But what short form does is it gives you so many more swings at it. You know, you have such a easier opportunity. Like, the game moves so much quicker. Like, you can test and test and test. You can post 5 times a day if you wanted to. You can't post 5 YouTubes a day. You can post 10 times a day on short form if you really wanted to and if you had the resources there to do it. So like, your opportunity to succeed at a quicker rate is always going to be on short form, just purely based on the way the platforms work. Like, they want to feed your content out. Whereas YouTube, you know, as I said, it's a much slower moving burn. I think if you had the opportunity to have, I say this, you know, I had this conversation all the time, but like, if I had the opportunity to have 500,000 followers on YouTube or 2 million followers on Instagram, I would take YouTube
all day, every day,
because, you know,
it's quality.
It's quality. They're there with you for a long time. You build genuine connections. Like, it's a much more powerful platform. But to get to even 100,000 subscribers is like so much harder than it is to do on Instagram.
What's your most interesting platform? Like, what one do you like the most and why?
I like Instagram the most.
Yeah.
Because I think...
Do you think Facebook's dead?
I personally don't use it much, but I don't think it's dead.
I know a lot of people that have deleted it and just have Messenger.
I mean, speaking from experience, I don't use it, but I still have it.
Yeah.
I don't go on it. I think there's still a huge amount of users on there. Different age demographic, and that probably feeds into what actually your goals are and like who you're trying to actually reach. If you're trying to reach, you know, this is a generalization because there are so much, like, the age demographic on TikTok is massive. It's the whole way through. But if you are trying to reach younger people, you probably are going to be pushing more on TikTok. If you're trying to reach more my age group, you know, like, you know, the whole way through maybe to an older age group, Instagram's probably a better platform for you. So I personally think Instagram has more value for me.
And there's so many more platforms coming. You follow the States. There's all these other ones popping up now. You know, I've said to Nick, like, Twitch.
Mm.
We all look at it now like, oh, fuck that. That's for 12-year-olds. Like, they play Xbox on there. But, yeah, everyone was saying that shit about TikTok.
Yeah.
Everyone was saying that shit about Instagram. And it's like, okay, how do you implement that in
speaking
our game?
Of,
is that something that
speaking of Twitch, I think, like, live streaming as a medium is, like, that's the next big blue ocean for everyone. So whether
the amount of money that's over there, fuck a live stream.
Like, whether you go live on TikTok, whether you go live on Instagram, whatever it is, like, there's so many brands are starting to do it now, and so many more creators are starting to do it in America specifically. I think in Australia, no one does it unless you are a gamer and a streamer. But that in itself, even for me, like, if I was like, okay, where should I invest my time? It's like going live every day is probably something I should be doing.
Yeah.
I don't want to, but, you know, if I'm going to look back on this conversation.
But then it's like, so many guys are like, well, what do we go live on? Like, it's all right for the gamers because they're fucking playing.
So I think,
the game. Like,
but that's why I think building is so cool, because you could do it. Like, you go to a big job site, you go talk through your office, go live, show what you're working on. Like, as a business, like, it's inherently interesting, you know, as a plumber going to like an emergency toilet block or whatever it is, like, you're doing things that are on the go, they're fast moving. So naturally your environment is fast moving. You're not just sitting down playing games and streaming and trying to talk and tell a story. Mm. You're actually out there doing something. So like, it's an interesting concept regardless of what it is. So I think builders going live is probably a step too far at this point in time because there's not enough.
But it's inevitable, right?
Yeah,
like
it probably will.
You wait.
And they should. Like, you know, emergency plumbers, like going to a job, like whatever it is, like that in itself would be a crazy, interesting live that you would get people plugging into and wanting to see what's happening and wanting to see, you know, a burst water pipe, whatever it is.
Exactly. Like Graham sitting there, he's retired, you know, he's just scrolling through, he's got Twitch on his phone, he wants to watch something like back in my day, like, I want to see what this guy's doing. Like,
100%.
I'm telling you, man, it's gonna happen.
It will happen. Crazy, yeah, guarantee.
All right, so what's next for you now? All right,
for me, I guess this year I have put all of my eggs into just making content. I think from that, it's hard to know what comes of it. Like, you know, the minute you build a personal brand of any size and start to actually post and get active and share your learnings and experiences, like, you and I wouldn't be sitting here if you hadn't seen my videos. Like, I can't actually tell you what's next because I don't know. But all I know is, like, my only focus for this year is to post. You know, I originally wrote down at the start of the year, I was like, you know, I want to get X amount of followers. You know, I want to do this. And when I actually sat down and reflected on it, I was like, I want to just focus on the process. And so, like, posting 1,000 times is something that not many people can do because they don't have the time to do it or the resources.
Do you ever get wrapped up in the followers?
Yeah. Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But, like, you know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't. But if you can detach yourself from that and just, I think what it's helped me is, like, okay, I zoom out and go, okay, at the start of the year, I was at this amount. Now I'm at this amount. Instead of, if I look at it day to day, yes, it goes up some days, yes, it goes down some days. But if I just focus on the one thing that I know I should be focusing on, which is just posting and getting better at posting and sharing more learnings and, you know, having real connections with people and kind of reviewing those and posting about those, the outcome will be, you know, the followers will be the outcome of it. But I just need to focus on the process.
So. Buying followers?
No.
Hey, I had to ask the question, guys. Fair. I had to ask the question. You know, there's so many people out there. When you get on their page and they've got 50,000 followers, but they've only got fucking a couple hundred views, it's questionable, you know?
I think like now, though, as well, like speaking to followers, especially with TikTok, follower count doesn't mean as much as it used to.
Yeah, that's because crazy
of the way that So, like, this is the way that the platforms are set up. So, TikTok and why it exploded, it was all about the video and the creator. And it's like, if you post a good video, you could have zero followers. If you post a really good video and you see it all the time, these people with no followers, no display picture, they post a video and it's got millions of views and likes because it's all about the video and the content. And that's, it's a content first platform. And so, follower count on TikTok has never mattered at all. And now Instagram is slowly becoming that as well. It's not so much about, it's still very much who you follow, and you want to follow people, and like that's how you interact on the platform. You see someone you like, you follow them, you want to see all their content, yada yada. But it's slowly shifting that way to what TikTok's algorithm's like as well, where it's just about the content. And that's why Instagram only really pushes and focuses on short form videos, because they just want more people spending more time on their platforms. So to, for them to be able to do that, all they need to be doing is showing you better videos that you're going to continually like, and it's going to keep you sucked in and keep scrolling.
And I guess the question is then what would be the next, you know? Because if it, and I would say the same thing, TikTok followers,
yeah,
diamond of a dozen, I would say it's the cheapest. You want to put it like that, it would be the least, you know, you get a few hundred, it doesn't matter, like they come fucking, you see them come through too, like some of them they're like spam.
Yeah,
but if Instagram does go down that way, I guess what is the next sort of quality other than YouTube being the ultimate, you know, holy grail of that sort of long form? What would be the next sort of short form style that people would be pushing in? Because I know there was a lot of talk about LinkedIn and all this sort of other sort of stuff, and I just can't see it, you know.
Just depends on the, like, the type of content that people want to consume.
Yeah,
if it was written, then you would go to X and be like, you know, I'm going to focus on that. But I just don't think as a society anyone really wants to consume anything but videos at this point in time. Like, yes, there are substacks of people that want to consume long form, and they write long form and they're really good at it, and they may go to a LinkedIn, or they may go to a Substack, or they may create a newsletter or whatever it is, if they want to share longer pieces of content, and that's the, you know, the medium that they want to play in. But again, you kind of just have to speak about the realities of the world and the game that you're playing in. Like, everyone just wants short form videos. Yeah. So if you're not making them, if you're not there, then like, how do you stand out? How do you even get discovered?
Yeah. And do you post 100 times a day, you know, or do you just, you know, is it quality over quantity? This has always been something that I've dabbled in. It's like, you know, do you try to perfect it, but then by perfecting it so much, you just don't even get there anyway, because you're just such a perfectionist that you're like, no, it's not the right lighting, not the right look. And you
I think like, as a starting out point, it always has to be quantity over quality, and then at some point it becomes quality over quantity. But you have to get from zero to one first, and you have to actually understand how to create content. You actually have to ingrain it into your day-to-day. You actually have to make it a part of your effort and your daily, you know, outgoings of what you're focusing on. You need it to be quantity over quality. I'm trying not to remember my words. It needs to be quantity over quality. So you just need to be posting, and from that, you know, if you just focus on posting, you slowly get better, and you slowly start to understand, okay, this is how I edit things, or this is how I film things, or this is how the kind of content we want to make. And then at some point, it's like you look back and you go, fuck, you know, we've actually grown, like we've gotten better. I'm actually going to slow down a little bit now and focus on better quality content. And invest more time into each video, and invest more time into scripting and all these things.
I guess
I'm
going to
get better that
way as well. And
yeah. All that, so it's just stuff, like, it, you know, it's just seasons. You can't just pick one thing forever and be that.
You almost got to evolve. And that's the same as Grail.
Yeah.
You know, everyone talks about them. Everyone knows them around Australia. They evolved. They didn't 100%. Just, not only in the content game, but their business has evolved as well.
Yeah. Like,
hey, they were just doing fucking Renos they were just in Paddington. Like, they were just a group of chippies. Yeah, yeah. But then fast forward, you know, and to now. So it's the same sort of thing, but they've evolved the content to suit that sort of demographic that they're aiming for as well. They're no longer trying to shoot for, you know, the people on the street anymore. You know, they're wanting the more high profile sort of individuals, and the high profile individuals are all networking. They're not really scrolling, you know, they're not really fucking scrolling on their phone anyway. It's the same philosophy. If you want to put it as a philosophy, it's the same philosophy that Lambo uses, you know what I mean? They don't run ads at night in between news channels and stuff, because the people that are going to buy them aren't going to be fucking watching daytime TV. So,
and that's why Grey is like, you know, every build they do now is newsworthy, because they know, like, they either have to pay, and I don't actually know this, but like, they either have to pay to be in the news cycle so that it actually gets out into the broader market and the people that they probably want to attract, or, you know, a lot of their builds would be sold before they even hit the news cycle anyway. Like, they would already have someone it comes to them.
Marketing masters. Yeah, it's crazy. But listen, we have chugged through some time. But wait, all in all, for you guys that are listening anyway, I know me and Jai, I feel like I've completely forgot that the podcast is even recording and I've just been yapping away to him. But the premise of this one is for you builders, chippies, anyone and everyone, even if you're an apprentice and you want to go out there and do your own thing, man, you guys have just got a lot of stuff out of this, you know, about consistency, posting, brand, you know, the vision. And man, Jai has dropped some bombs for you guys. So yeah, if you want to look into him a little bit more, he's across socials. He's about to blow up. He's got a lot of high profile individuals in his account. So, but definitely reach out to him and I'm sure he'll steer you in the direction. But if you want to do content, as he said, just like decide if it is something that you want to do and just stay consistent with it. Don't just like be like, oh, I just want to see results straight away, because you're not. You're not going to see fucking results straight away. It doesn't matter what you do. E-commerce, building, construction, you're a handyman. It doesn't matter. It's not going to happen overnight. So
100%.
Jai, I want to thank you again for coming on. We're going to wrap it there. And we will see you guys on the next one.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode, as this will be one that you don't want to miss.